When it says we're live, this is the Krillcast Live. I am Chris.
And I'm Will.
And I'm Andrew.
And the guys below me, they kind of, no, I'm just kidding.
Anyway, let's talk about Xbox and how Xbox is crushing it.
But before we do anything else, though, I want to remind you guys, make sure you guys subscribe to the podcast. This is the only way you're going to get access to our podcast every week because YouTube's not going to recommend it to you. So if you want to hear our opinions, our lazy
opinions. It's because it's so controversial. That's why they're not recommending it.
We've had some pretty cool people on, but we haven't had guests in a while. We're probably going to start ramping that back up as soon as we get the word out that Wednesday is the day now. Anyways, long story short, did a really cool Thrones and Rings cast you guys should listen to before you go watch that show because, you know, the Rings of Power is awful. And if you want some hype on the...
Don't ruin it, man.
Yeah.
Want some hype on the other one, the House of the Dragon. That's a great place to go check it out because Will and Andrew cannot say enough good things about it. Mm-hmm. Soon, we may have a culture.
Overall,
we might have a culture cast. Maybe we'll talk about Last of Us. We'll see. Andrew really wants me to watch that one, so we'll see. But in the meantime,
yeah, and then Chris and I are gonna start playing Sea of Thieves again.
I need to do Walking Dead. I need to walk with Will.
I'm playing the final season now, and it's already heart wrenching. So
I need the walking with Will with the dead. Anyways,
do you have to walk with the dead, Chris?
That I need the will question. To walk with the dead. Okay, anyways. Now that I demonetize our podcast by saying the weirdest stuff possible, let's get into it. So we're going to do some topics. And the whole point of the topics thing is that we don't get stale with one topic for an hour and a half like we were doing for a while. And I feel like that was getting pretty stale. So we're going to kind of change it up, do a couple things that are clip worthy when I finally get around to making clips again. And hopefully it'll build the podcast up for you guys to listen to shorter versions of our discussions.
And next week, I should have better lighting. I'm not going to look like
and next week, Will's going to be like a human adult with a desk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With maybe he'll get a webcam one of these days. That's not his.
No, that's too far.
All right. Well,
the desk for now.
If you guys didn't see, something was leaked. But no. The first topic's Xbox because Will's here. Yeah. All right.
Because Will's Xbox. Here. It's a thing that happened. People watched it.
He's obsessed. Davos was very successful for Will.
Mm-hmm. Xbox and Bethesda Developer Direct, January 2023. Red
because
Fall,
neither Minecraft. Of these little shits watched this or know anything about it. It was supposed to be in a style of Nintendo. They only covered a couple games. They announced the games beforehand. So no one got their hopes up. And it wasn't supposed to be a big deal. It's just like, hey, here's some games. They're coming up Q1. And that's exactly what they did.
I'm happy they didn't get your hopes up, Will.
All right. They covered.
If I had to hear you cry about Fable not being part of
it. I am still bummed because they did shadow drop a game and they released it today and it's not Fable.
Anyways, Xbox Bethesda Developer Direct for January 2023. They talked about Redfall. Is this game like released or is it still like being
released? No, it's coming out.
Yeah.
No. When is it going to be released?
Then? I don't know, but they did. Oh, May 2nd. It's right there. May 2nd.
Oh, May? Okay.
Yeah, they announced all the dates of these games too. So that's why they did that. So honestly, a lot of people are excited about this. It looks pretty cool.
I don't know how to feel because it's Bethesda and a shooter.
Yeah. Well, it's Arcane. And I do like the Arcane games. They're very niche, but I don't know.
What on earth is going on in this scene?
Some evil thing is at the window and
abducting children from a mother who's got a shotgun in her bag.
Yeah, so the idea is you're on this island. It's called the Island of Redfall. Some doctors are trying to create a drug that causes you to live forever. It's gone awry. There's now vampires, but they're not like traditional vampires. They're like
I Am Legend vampires.
Yeah, it's interesting. Flying shit and they have magic. And then you, as a character, you can choose the different characters you play as, and you guys have different powers. There's also different classes, and you can kind of just dick around. You don't have to do the main story at all.
Mm.
So it sounds they hesitated to say it like this, but like it's like Far Cry, but their version of Far Cry, that kind of game mechanic, where you can kind of just do your own thing and ignore the story.
Yeah, but there's still kind of too much witchcraft going on here. That's not Far Cry.
That's what I'm saying. It's their take on it. So it's Arcane. Yeah. Have you ever played the Dishonored? Have you ever played the Dishonored series?
No, I've never played Dishonored.
Oh, it's gonna be like that. Okay.
Yeah. But it's their open world game, but it's not really open world.
So what Andrew's saying is you haven't convinced him to buy an Xbox for this yet.
Nope. No.
But I mean, you play this on PC, so.
Yeah, but you haven't convinced me that it's purchased.
What the heck is that?
Oh, yeah. That's so a glitch. There's vampires. There's a couple factions that are on the island. But there's also people who like worship the vampires. And they think they're going to get turned into one, but they don't. They turn these monstrosities that you kill. Chris should be all about this. I shall cleanse you in the name of Jesus.
No. I mean, this is like up my alley for horror, kind of a little bit, but
it looks interesting. Like, I have Game Pass again right now for like a month or so, and it's free. So,
I'm not vibing with the art style personally. So,
it is strange. That was my first impression of it.
The art style kind of seems like if you mixed like Fortnite with Resident Evil,
yeah,
it's got the weird proportions of Fortnite.
I'll give you that,
but it looks more like Resident Evil.
The first announcement trailer that they had like 2 years ago, whatever, it looked just super weird. I immediately discounted this game, but it looks slightly better. Like they've tweaked it.
Okay, be honest, Will. It's because of Game Pass that you're truly seriously consider playing this. Okay.
Well, what's that other weird one that they had? Was it Scorn? Was Scorn the other one they had?
Well, I mean,
the really bizarre one that Microsoft had?
Yeah, Scorn was a first party game.
Okay. That's one I would never play because it was disgusting looking.
Yep. But they stuck to their vision. It was just weird as shit.
More Minecraft.
Oh, yeah. Minecraft. Well, this is actually like, I'm not interested in this at all, but it's interesting for Minecraft. I'm sure this is going to blow up.
I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's PvP in Minecraft. Remember?
If you actually watched the video, like, there's a lot going on here, and I wish it wasn't Minecraft, is basically all I took away from this video.
You want this to be like Zelda Four Swords.
I wanted this to be an actual game. Like, you know what I mean? Obviously, yeah. Minecraft's a game, but like a...
You don't need the Minecraft skin on it.
There you go. Yeah. Yep.
I got the Forza Motorsport. Forza's always good.
Honestly, I
mean, Forza's the same thing every time.
But this isn't Horizon. This is the Motorsport.
No, just to describe what they did, they rebuilt the entire game. So that's why it's no longer numbered. They rebooted the series. And also, if you're into racing sims, it's cool simply because they have realistic damage. They have realistic engine builds. So it actually changes the weight of the car and the handling of the car.
Yeah.
And when you crash, it actually will create like dents and scratches in the right spot, and even the dirt will fleck into the correct spots of the car now, which is like the graphical fidelity is insane. But other than that, like if you're not interested in racing sims, then who cares?
Yeah, the Forza series, both Horizon and Motorsport, have always been a step ahead in both the arcade racer and the racing simulation. Like you really just can't compete with Microsoft when it comes to simulation, like Forza, or like even like the flight sim they have, you know, Flight Simulator, probably the best flight sim ever. So,
You can tell that, you know, they get every resource that they could possibly ask for.
I'm surprised there's not a partnership between like all these autopilot cars and Microsoft with their really good simulation software.
Yeah, I don't know.
They also have fully 3D and rendered audiences. Imagine if games actually had this. Yeah, so like all the audiences are fully rendered and they're not like just procedurally generated. They're actually made.
Interesting.
EA is quaking in their boots right now with their Madden and their.
I know. Games. It's like, come on. I want that in football games. All right. Well, this is the Hi-Fi Rush. This is the one it's a rhythm action game. There you go.
All right. Let me look up a picture of this to see what the heck you think I like.
Tango Gate.
Will thinks I would like this game. I have never heard of this.
Yeah, I love how Will sent the text message telling you all these things about the game that you would love, and you basically shit on every.
Yeah, which is funny because I'm telling you, Chris likes these games, and it's just he just wants to be contrary.
I hate this art style. The art style looks awful.
Oh my gosh, you haven't even looked at it.
I'm not saying this is a bad. I'm not saying this is a bad game.
I hate it so much.
This is like Jet Set Radio, dude. I've never liked Jet Set Radio. Why would I like this?
Who doesn't like Jet Set Radio, man?
I don't.
I just love how Will was all like.
The only times I could have bought Jet Set Radio.
I know. I was excited to tell him. I was like, oh, look, Chris, this is some random game you can pick up.
And it took a whole minute before he just was like, I hate
first off, I don't just said. I don't have Game Pass, first off. Yeah. Well, yeah. This is not like, no offense to the devs, but this is the opposite of what I want. No, thank you. Yeah, this is no.
It's just not your style.
What the heck is that?
It's not
Ghost War Tokyo.
Oh, okay. All right.
Same studio.
All
right,
let's move on. Okay. You can play all the previous Elder Scrolls Online chapters for free.
Oh, this actually like interested me. I'm actually going to do this. I have yet to play this, and I'm actually pretty pumped about this.
Did you give me your Elder Scrolls Online, or did somebody else give that to me?
I did give this to you, I think.
I think you did. Yeah. I've got your...
Yeah, I definitely did. In a box of other
games. Have you played this before then, Will? Because I've always been conflicted on getting Elder Scrolls Online.
Yeah, so I played it when it first came out, and it was like, it's kind of a buggy mess, but they've... completely overhauled it and people freaking love it. So and there's so much to it now that, I don't know, I'm very interested. I was watching the gameplay for it and I was like, oh, this actually looks pretty cool.
So basically what you're telling me is they just basically re-hyped us for things that aren't coming out yet, and then also told us that Elder Scrolls Online's out with all this
free
stuff.
Free, it's free.
They said that Elder Scrolls Online was free, but they also announced a new expansion coming in June or something. And then they gave dates other than Forza, but they I think they may have actually gave the date for Forza, but it was sneaky. I think it's coming in June. It wasn't as clear as the other ones, but everything, the whole point of this is like, these are the games coming in quarter one or at the beginning of summer. And then whatever game that is, Starfield, if you're interested in that, it has its own show coming up.
Which they haven't announced the date for.
No, I think it's it leaked. It's in March.
Okay.
Yeah.
Plenty of time for them to cancel it.
So funny you say that though, but Redfall, is definitely the most interesting for me out of the bunch that were here, and I probably won't get that one either. So that's where I'm at right now.
Well, yeah, and like, you know, Andrew pointed out, it's because it's on Game Pass. But to be fair, I have found several games that I freaking love because of Game Pass. Like Hellblade, I never would have played that game.
Fantastic. Really, you wouldn't have played Hellblade?
No,
that was like one of the few things that I was like, dang, I wish that wasn't only on Xbox.
It's not.
I still won't. All
right, maybe I'm thinking of a different one. Not Hellblade. I'm thinking of. Wait, is that the
one? Sending a Sacrifice. Isn't that
It is.
Isn't the second one?
Are there two games?
Yeah, so the second one hasn't come out yet, but there's quite a few rumors saying it's probably going to come out this year at the end of the year. That'd be one of the holiday games. But yeah, the first one is on every system, I believe, besides Switch.
It kind of like how Bayonetta 1 was on everything, and then all the Bayonetta since are on just Nintendo.
Yeah. Yeah, Microsoft bought that studio afterwards.
I thought that was an exclusive. Huh.
Bayonetta? Well,
it's an exclusive.
Hellblade is an
exclusive now, but you can get Hellblade. It was originally a PlayStation 4 exclusive, actually.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
That's funny. Is there anything else you want to say about Xbox, Will?
I'm disappointed that there aren't more, like, holy shit games. I mean, it's the same thing every year.
Yes. Maybe we should quickly address just the elephant in the room on Halo, though. How do you feel about 343's current position in the market?
I'm disappointed. It's a long time coming. I mean, everyone, honestly, I've seen this writing on the wall since Halo 4. I've been trying to trick myself into thinking of something else, but the moment they effed up the very first one, I should have realized that they didn't know what they were doing. and then every single release after that has been a mistake, other than the games that they didn't have a direct hand in. So like Halo Wars 2 was phenomenal, but they didn't make that game.
Halo Wars 1 was good too, actually.
Well, yeah, that's before 343 though.
But that was Ensemble Studios, it wasn't Bungie.
Yeah, well, that's I don't know what point you're trying to make there.
I'm just saying like other devs that have been given the reins of Halo have done a good job.
Yeah, it's true. I think that honestly, I would not be surprised if Creative Assembly.
That is the right one, isn't it?
No, that does Halo Wars 2. What the heck is the Certain Affinity? If Certain Affinity ends up getting the campaign rights, I would not be surprised by this. I think that Max Obermann could totally do it. He's actually one of the original Halo guys. He built Halo 2's multiplayer and also Couch Co-op. He's the reason that Xbox Live is Xbox Live today. That studio has worked on every single Halo game since Halo 2 and built the Halo 2 anniversary map packs.
Do you mind if I jump in, Will?
I'll just finish real quick. Okay, they're already working on a battle royale, like that. Supposedly that's what that big mode's going to be. I would not be surprised if they end up also doing a campaign DLC or just, you know, publishing the next game themselves, with 343 being the ones that like guide the lore, because they do a good job with the books and the comics and stuff. They do a terrible time with full game development.
score. Yeah, see, I see 343 taking the LucasArts approach at this point. Like they'll still be in charge of the rights of Halo. They'll make sure that none of the stuff gets out of hand. But I think you're going to see a lot of LucasArts style deals where they have like another Microsoft studio doing development, because that's really where the issue comes from. They have a bunch of devs roll in that they don't plan on keeping long term. They make the game launch and then they lose all that added people, all those added people that are in it. And then boom, like they're stuck with a skeleton crew trying to keep things running when they had, you know, taped paper keeping the game running in the first place.
Yep. At the end of the day, it was really bad management. I mean, we've all seen the Twitter feeds on it. And they can blame Microsoft for the 18-month temporary worker situation. But every other studio has figured this out and figured out how to get around that and hire full-time workers. So it's 343. I'm not going to blame them on that policy.
You can't have three game releases all have issues and blame anything other than the studio in charge.
Yeah,
three in a row, four in a row. What's the four? Oh, MCC.
MCC.
Yeah, but MCC, they turned around. So I'm not
The guy who actually turned it around is now the head of the studio. So, like, I want to be hopeful for that, but it's just one guy. Like, how much could he actually do?
And let's not pretend, too, that this is, like, EA setting up a studio for failure.
Microsoft doesn't do that. They try really hard to set studios up to be successful, and they just
get that's what I'm saying. Like, this isn't simply EA screwing over some group that they want to find an excuse to shut down either.
Yeah,
I think Red figured it out. 343 seems kind of not good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they've cleaned house. Like, basically all of the upper management's gone now.
Well, Joe Staten was always short-term, so I'm not surprised he went back to his
group. I'm sad about that. I was hoping he was just going
to
stay.
I mean, I'm sad, but he was never supposed to be long-term.
No, I know.
In fairness, simply clearing out upper management doesn't fix it either. It takes time. Yep. And they probably don't have the time for that whole culture shift. So, nope.
Well, clearing upper management is a good choice when everything's bad. But at the same time, it's not always upper management where lies the poison and the toxic, right? Whatever the cancer is in the organization usually is deep and well within. And hopefully they can root that out and figure out where it is. Because it might not be a person. It may be a programming issue where, you know, you might have a specific way that you do business that is causing all these problems. It's not always personnel.
At a certain level, it almost seems easier, though, for a studio to just start over. Like the whole Phoenix model. Burn it down and just rebuild from the start, you know?
I'm the most disappointed just because I wanted DLC. And the thing is, I thought this campaign was really freaking good. And I say that as someone who's been burned twice now. It was really good. I really enjoyed it. I was very much looking forward to the future of Halo. I got super pumped. I had the hopium, but 343 just killed it.
Honestly, I think the biggest issue is the name of the studio, right? You pick the Betrayer as the name of your studio instead of 117. Like,
that's true.
Why is it 343? Why is it the Guilty Spark?
Because they're always meant to be. I think they always had a mentality that they're going to just be the stewards. Like 343 was a steward of the Halo ring. That's all they ever wanted to do.
Yeah, but that ring, that Guilty Spark was in charge of a ring that got destroyed.
Yeah. Two of them.
I think the thing they should have planned on was that, you might destroy the Halo franchise, but Guilty Spark should have eventually become the good guy. Just kidding.
I think there was a deep seated issue. I don't want to necessarily get over the front of my skis on this comment, but the former head of that studio was someone who's been with Microsoft for a really long time, was really entrenched. And I think that I'm sure Phil Spencer freaking knew that there's problems with that studio and new problems with that game. But I was thinking about this week. He may not have been able to fire that person. You know who I'm talking about. I'm not going to mention the name.
Yeah.
But it could have been like, you can't fire that person.
just looking at a corporate structure in general, like there are people that are entrenched in the legacy of a company or the what some people would refer to as the good old boys club. And those people are usually untouchable, even from management.
I think that person was untouchable. And I think although that person had a good intentions to begin with, because if you watch the interview where they talk about saving Halo from actually selling off the Gearbox, which I still think is the right decision. I don't want a Gearbox Halo game. They didn't know what they're doing. And I think that really made the studio suffer very badly, and to the point we are now where we are.
Yeah. I think Halo was a good trilogy. And then I think Bungie like walked off into the sunset when Halo was at an all-time high, especially with a spinoff like Reach, because Reach was so good. And ODST, really good as well.
Yeah,
like,
all those the Bungie games are great. And I would say the Halo Wars games are great. I honestly like the multiplayer of Halo 5 because it was really far out there. I wouldn't even necessarily consider it a Halo game, but it was still fun. The campaign of Reach was great, and then that's it. The rest of it sucked. It was just bad.
I think we can agree that Bungie timed it perfectly to take the maximum amount of goodwill into the next project.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely did.
Yeah.
I don't think Destiny would be nearly as successful if they didn't time it right.
Well, remember, they fell on their face so many times with Destiny 2.
Yeah.
Destiny sucks.
But the first Destiny recently.
I cannot stand Destiny. I'm not a fan either,
but you know that the first Destiny game was more successful because of how many people trusted Bungie at the time.
I mean, I bought Destiny on release.
I bought it. I didn't like it.
Because of my trust for Bungie.
I liked the first one.
And then I got burned because I didn't like it at all.
I don't like the new one now because I lost like all of my campaign because they put it on a vault. Mm-hmm. And now you can only play the upcoming expansions. And I'm just like, I don't even know what's going on. I never finished the first campaign. I was planning on going back to it. And I feel burned.
I am looking forward to I'm not sure, I'm cautious about this, but what they're going to do with the Marathon lore in the series, I'm curious what they're going to do because they are doing some kind of reboot of Marathon. It sounds like it's going to be some kind of a free-to-play action-based game with shooters some kind of arena missions where you go find something or maybe evacuations or that kind of a thing. And it's intriguing. I hope it's not just multiplayer. I guess that's my point. Because if it is just multiplayer, I probably won't enjoy it. I really just don't care for all multiplayer games.
Me either.
So I don't play Fortnite. So I don't play Apex Legends. Although I do have that now. I might play it eventually.
Which game? Apex Legends?
Legends.
Okay.
I tried Fortnite more than once. Hate it. I can't play Fortnite.
Apex Legends is fine. I just don't know what I'm doing.
They dumped the build. You can do Fortnite no build. That is a thing now.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yep.
Apex Legends wasn't bad. It's just something you have to get used to how they have the characters. So.
Well, I have coming out 343. It's really unfortunate people lost their jobs.
Yes.
So I hope they find a better studio that treats them better and they can excel and they're not without a job for a long time.
I think the gaming industry in general is a lot of ups and downs. And
tech in general, I mean, Amazon, I think Apple.
Everyone.
Yeah, everyone's losing people or firing people.
The thing, though, is at least with gaming, there's a lot more certainty even in the downs. It's like they're going to have another studio snap them up, especially when you have enough of those people. You know, they're going to look to start making new studios and stuff. And that's when you get some of the new players on the block that usually turn out to be quite exciting because it really does get to bring in all the new tech at the ground floor and get rid of the inefficiencies, right? So
a very motivated person who loses their job will create something amazing.
Yeah. And that's basically what, the gaming sector has been forever, right? Think of how many new studios come through each generation. Like a decent.
Well, look at the people that made No Man's Sky. That team was super small.
Yeah.
And Hello Games is now massive. No Man's Sky is super, super impressive at this point compared to where it started. Mm-hmm. And everybody's looking forward to whatever their next thing's going to be at this point. Hello Games was not, they were a mobile dev. Now they're a full blown console dev. All right. Next thing. This is the leak that Andrew was talking about earlier.
Yeah.
So this looks very Apple. I will give you that. This looks very Apple.
I don't know if that's actually what it looks like, though.
Does Apple ARVR headset render? This looks like an Apple product. I mean, it looks a little too Apple. Like, I don't think you're going to be able to get away with making a headset this small.
It's not going to be that small. I guarantee it's not going to be that small.
Although the HoloLens isn't very big either.
Fair.
So who knows?
Is the HoloLens even out?
You can buy one. Installation 00 has two of them. he's got they're in like the dev phase where you can get them if you're a dev working on something. Like with his Mjolnir project, he was able to secure one or two of them.
But also, HoloLens isn't that AR, not VR.
It's kind of mixed, but it is mostly AR. This is supposedly AR and VR together.
Yeah, there's a lot of news about it. Apparently it tracks your eyes in this thing. So,
well, that makes sense, because if you move your eyes in an AR or VR situation, you would want it to know where your eyes are going. Yeah. To put every object in the right spot.
All I know is this thing will probably be more successful at the ground floor than a lot of the competitors.
Well, just Apple is smart because they don't launch a billion new products at once.
Yeah.
When they have one big product, they put all their weight behind it, and if it fails, they kill it.
People like, will buy it because it's an Apple product.
I mean, there's going to be a lot of people who just buy it, man. I won't
touch it. I don't like AR or VR personally at all.
I don't think it can fail. I think that's the crux of this, right? Like, Apple doesn't really have a product that fails anymore. They think this is the future, right? If they think this is the future of gadgets, like, they're gonna be willing to let it linger there for a while.
Apple's had quite a few products that have failed, or technologies rather. Their products haven't failed, but their technologies. Like, for example, do you remember the Force Touch they added to the iPhones back in like the
No, that's different though. That's mm-hmm. not a
yeah, like some of their tech has failed.
Yeah, but their platforms don't fail.
Yeah.
And because this is a new Apple. Platform.
People buy it just for so they can have the Apple symbol on their device.
Right. Like, they're okay, you could tell me that this thing stops being VR and it becomes AR, and I'll believe you. I don't believe that they're getting rid of this once it's out. You know what I'm saying?
Well, they've waited long enough and played it safe long enough with this that, yeah, I would tend to agree. And the fact that you could probably pair up a set of AirPods with your VR headset probably is a big selling feature for this, because it's basically just an iPhone with extra tracking sensors.
Yeah, I don't want a screen that close to my eyeballs.
It's probably really bad for your eyes, honestly.
Yeah. But also, I don't know. Every time I put on a VR headset, I get super dizzy, super sweaty, and uncomfortable.
I don't have a lot of experience with VR yet, so
you're gonna see people walking around in New York City with one of those sets on their face, Apple Watch on their wrist, and AirPods in their ears, and you're not gonna know if they're paying attention or not.
It's New York. And then you're gonna see a person get hit by a taxi.
No, because the taxi's gonna auto stop because it'll know the person's there.
Oh yeah,
and you won't have to worry about that.
I just want to point out the irony of this specific device, though. It will 100% be primarily used for the type of content that Steve Jobs hated more than anything else and wish he could have banned from the iPhone.
Porn?
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
You're probably not wrong. Yeah. It is.
Have you seen the GIF of the meme video or whatever of the metaverse, and the guy like walks in his roommate and it looks like he's like, you know, thrusting. He's like, yes. Oh my gosh. And he goes to the other guy's the roommate and he's bent over.
Usually they're in two different rooms, but
yes. That's great.
My favorite one is when the wife walks in on her sister playing in the basement, and she goes up to see her husband who's doing the opposite motion of the sister in the other room. And she goes, "What is going on, Jerry?" And he goes, What do you think I'm doing? And she's like, "Do you know, was my sister playing too?" "No, I'm playing with my buddy Randy." And then you see Randy in a house like three houses over, and he's like bent over. Anyways, long story short, I do think that AR has a place in the market. I mean, realistically, the fastest way to Cyberpunk 2077 in real life is to AR things that look like Cyberpunk things. And there's so many people that like Cyberpunk as a genre that I think the most likely scenario is that businesses can easily advertise in the AR space and pay almost nothing for it.
Yep. Nope.
Well, honestly, think about it. It's like those will become virtual, like sign spinners almost. If you have,
imagine not having to pay for a giant billboard in NYC. Right. They just have a green screen up there, and you walk around with the AR headset, and they're like, "Oh, look,
you don't need our billboard."
You don't even need the green screen.
You can just walk through, and it pops up.
Be on the brick on the side, like you're walking through, and doorman like pops off the side of the wall and like starts telling you how you should go.
I hope this happens because I will not buy this product.
I'll never see
another ad.
But it'll totally be the Cyberpunk concept if they ever get AR fully implemented, because you can act. I mean, it'll be great for anything that's not on the main street, right? Like you could have a AR sign or advertisement that points you around the corner.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the one thing I can see this being a super nice replacement device, though, is if you're in an office and you see everybody's got like 6-7 monitors, or even just three, probably just three, this would allow you to have essentially an infinity monitor right at your desk, and you wouldn't have to buy all these giant expensive monitors that take up lots of space.
The amount of tabs I would have open on this device.
No, that's really what this is supposed to be for. It's not meant for like consumers yet. I mean, it is, but it isn't. This is a piece of tech that you're going to see in a lot of businesses because it'll save them money and space on monitors.
I think it's going to, like the AR stuff, it's going to be geared towards those who do design work.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, no doubt.
Architects and anyone who's doing an engineering
task. Well, imagine you're all sitting in a conference room and you're all wearing this. Mm-hmm. You could have a 3D model in the middle of the table that you could be playing.
I mean, you could do a 3D tour of your building perfectly, right? So,
right.
I mean, it's clearly going to be towards business at first, and then well, and porn addicts.
That's what the Kinect is actually used. The Kinect did not die. The Kinect is now a business.
Yeah, I see it all the time.
Augmented museums reality and stuff. Device, which is really cool, actually.
Yeah.
So. Anyways, that's all I have to say about that. You guys have anything else? I think Apple's going to get seriously into gaming.
I mean, this will be big for their gaming, probably.
I don't care.
They'll market it in some way, kind of take the knees out of Oculus a little bit if it's actually successful.
Well, it's going to be a $1,000 device. This is going to be $1,000, guaranteed at least $1,000.
Yeah, but people will pay that. I mean, look at how many people buy the new iPhone every year. Every year.
You're not wrong. Yeah. But like even the Index, the Valve Index is like 1,000. I think it's more than 1,000 actually, but or at least it launched more than 1,000.
If it comes with the Apple symbol like that right in the middle of your face, everyone will buy it. Yep.
Yeah. No, it's got to have two apples, one per eye.
No, you'll be Apple Cyborg.
Honestly,
I pretend like they're an X-Men.
I really don't think this is going to be the way it looks because I think an Apple symbol in the middle of your face is egregious.
Honestly, I don't think Apple will make anything that looks bad. They don't make things look bad. That's just a fact. Aesthetics are their main thing. So.
Yep, aesthetics over functionality.
I've always thought it was interesting that Apple chose to get their logo to be the apple with the bite out of it. Like it's got some significance in like the genesis of the Bible or something.
That's not an apple, Chris. Me.
What?
No,
get out of here. I've always thought that symbol was interesting, though, that they chose to do the apple with the bite out of it. Anyways,
it's because it's a Macintosh apple. It takes a bite.
Yeah.
Out of the Macintosh. It's delicious.
I'm just saying. Okay. All right. Netflix Crackdown could ban up to 100 million accounts.
I mean.
Good. I don't care.
I don't care. I don't. What's the negative for them?
They were going to have to do this. They're losing money left and right.
Let me tell you where this future leads us, though. This is going to affect, as soon as Netflix does this, it's going to affect a lot of other things, too. YouTube's going to jump in with their YouTube Premium. They're going to start killing off extra IP addresses.
Good.
HBO is going to do it. You're going to see Xbox start getting really hardcore on their Game Pass ability.
That's like the one selling point.
You know, they're not going to do it. Here's the thing about that. All right, I currently pay for my subscription, so I don't really give a crap. My bigger concern is the IP address tracking.
Yeah,
it's going to be a.
You want to live in the Big Brother state where your IP address gets tracked across all your services?
We already live in the Big Brother state.
Yeah, so I don't care about the accounts being eliminated. I care about the fact that they will probably force you to allow tracking of your location. That's my bigger complaint. Also, Hulu.
My Apple devices for almost every app like this has asked not to track
select. Yeah, but I'm saying like Hulu already does this nonsense where it's like, oh, your home IP address is not this television. You have to change your home address to watch live TV. So it's like, I'm not being surprisingly based, Kill Red. I am usually based. I tone it down for this show more than anything. no, but seriously though, Hulu is already guilty of this. So the fact that people complain. It's kind of like, no, you're focusing on the wrong thing with your let them eat cake, have more gladiator games, whatever it is. Just stop being distracted by your circuses.
See, I personally think that if you're going to do it this way, the right way to do it is that you can only have a certain number of IP addresses streaming at the same time. So like if you're paying for the base account, one IP address. You're paying for the next tier up, you can have two IP addresses. For you're paying for the next
account. I'm still tracking it though.
Yeah, I mean, okay, I fine, agree
but they're going to track it anyways. Like Andrew's saying, they're going to track it anyways. So where I'm at is you should track your streams based on the IP address.
I don't think they need to track it. I think if they, okay, to do this legitimately and not in a douchey Big Brother state method, you would just have it where only one IP address, or like Chris was saying, a certain number at a time, and they're not actively tracking them. They're just seeing how many are on your account at a time,
which they already do. If there's, if you have a two-person Netflix subscription where you can have two streams at once, who cares where the streams are? Like, really, I'm paying to have two streams. And if you're selling me that I can't have it in two different houses, then you sold me a product I didn't pay for.
I mean, this really hurts, potentially hurts the people who are in college.
Yeah.
Or someone who's traveling while the other family member is back at home.
We'll see how, like, this plays out. Because really what it is that it's like people sharing their account with 30 other people. So
if Netflix, if they're part of your family, right, and they still live at the same address, regardless of if they're in college during the school year, they should be able to use it.
Like, I think that this is just a bunch of nonsense. From the way they're marketing it, it's not actually accurate. I think they'll just sign a shit ton of people out of the accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're no longer close to the person, you're not going to be getting access to their account again, right? Think of how many people probably still share their college roommate's Netflix account after.
True.
Yeah, after like 5 years or so, right? All someone had to do is log in one time on a TV. That person never logs out. So it's like, oh, well, Bob still has my Netflix account.
Guess I remember staying at a hotel once while I was in college and somebody's Netflix account was logged in.
Yeah. So, I mean, they'll probably just do something like that where it logs a bunch of people out. Y'all have to log back in. If you don't remember the password, you're out of luck, and it'll look like a crackdown that banned a bunch of accounts when it really didn't ban any accounts. It just took care of the people who no longer know that's what directly I'm thinking too. So,
really, the accounts they're talking about are users on the account.
Yeah. They're not banning an account. They're just going to get rid of users.
Yep.
So one of my brother-in-law's profiles is literally named Bums. That'll probably hide right away. Oh, man. That's the kind of stuff. They're going to be looking for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Randos. Yeah. If you have one that's named Rando, just... Sorry.
People I don't talk to anymore.
Old roommates.
Dead grandpa.
Yeah.
You're like, why do you have a profile called Dead Grandpa? Well, he's still watching somewhere.
It's like the voter rolls in some states.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Oh man. If I had a dollar for every one of them, I'm just kidding. All right. Well, I do see like the broad, more broad stroke with this is my concern is, you know, it's gonna make it harder as a family to share an account. So like if your kids are in your house, like no big deal, but as your kids get older and they're not quite like independent on their own, you know, college age, this is gonna be a big impact.
Potentially,
because I ain't paying for college accounts.
Following what Andrew said,
I ain't paying for my kids' college Netflix accounts. Ain't doing it.
I don't think they're going to police IP addresses nearly as much as some might fear. I think they're just going to randomly log people out and force them to log back in. It's kind of the fixer.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, if Netflix just did it where they all the devices automatically logged you out after like 5 minutes and you couldn't save the password, that might be the solution.
Yep.
5 days, re-log in. You got a free 1 week trial if you got a password from somebody.
Yeah. Hold on, I want to pull something up here. Here it is. All right. I found it. This tweet did not age well for Netflix. Love is sharing a password.
Yeah, and then they started losing millions of dollars.
Yeah. This is March 10th, 2017. Netflix will never live this one down. Love is sharing a password. Hey, what's up, Pete? We need to have you back on sometime.
In fairness, they really need... Okay, let's just be honest here. They're talking about families loving each other and sharing a password. Like, you're now a couple. You share one Netflix account. I'm going to give them the benefit of that. But apparently you're supposed to love your neighbor as you love yourself and give them your Netflix passwords. So. Love is love.
Yeah. I'm just going to have to leave you with a quote from a good famous song there, Andrew. Do you believe in life after love?
No, not
at all. I do not, sir.
No, for the record, no. The Netflix accounts are all gone.
Oh, God. All right, anyways, let's see here. A lot of people will break up over the password sharing dilemma.
Yeah. No.
I was only with you for your Netflix. Oh, God.
There'll be fights. Whose college roommate gets to stay on the account?
They should change the Netflix and chill to Netflix and bill.
Yeah.
You're paying the bill. All right. So, Andrew, you had a serious conversation with us multiple times about how casino mechanics are used increasingly in video games. So have at it. What's your opinion on casino?
Okay. My pet peeve here is really just the fact that not long ago I was in Vegas and I saw the casino games there, all of the, you know, slot machines, played a few, and it's just like, this is the most boring shit on the planet. And I this is one of those moments where I must feel grateful to be a millennial, because I honestly think the style of video games that we grew up on is 100% inoculating to this style of dopamine hit, whereas you see all sorts of Gen Xers there just putting endless money in, hitting the button, not giving a crap that there is not a single interaction towards the outcome of that. Like, it's just like playing a stupid scratch off. And then I can't help but think, though, that the mobile games, a lot of the mobile games that kid, like Gen Z plays and stuff, are potentially training them to be able to get that dopamine hit now. So it's like there's been that lull with millennials, and now it's like you're getting like the U shape here. And I just think that it's bad.
So I have to say, casino games are always rigged against you, right? Like, that's just a fact.
Yeah.
Casino games are rigged against you. And that dopamine rush in a game that's rigged against you, where money's on the line, is pretty intense.
But, okay, here's the thing. They dress it up in all sorts of, like, cosmetics and stuff. It's the same stupid, every single one of them is the same stupid game. You have no ability to influence the outcome. It's not like you're trying to time something. It's not like it's poker, blackjack, or whatever where you have to calculate or think out the strategy. It is mindless button mashing. And I just can't help but think that our style of video games growing up inoculates us to that.
We had actually good games that didn't have mechanics in it that were meant to screw us out of our money.
Exactly.
They were meant to entice us to play a game one time.
We would
buy a $60 game, and even if we never played it again, they got our $60. That's what they wanted.
Even those games rarely had a spin the wheel function, like ever.
The only gambling I remember growing up was there was a casino in the Pokemon games, and you had to play it to win a certain number of tokens to get a like specific Pokemon item or something.
Right.
But that wasn't a big deal because I was spending money that wasn't real in the first place. So who cares? Well,
there was the mystery box technically in Call of Duty, but that was just a fun mechanism to like
weapon. Like
I never saw a problem with So like I never saw a problem with that. That's just like a what's the game going to gift us today?
Well, that was in-game points that you earned while playing that you could spend while playing that mode, and that was
right. And getting the money to play it was about skill in the game. Like it was a completely in your power. Right?
There was no credit card reader at the mystery box where you could buy a mystery spin.
But it's not even about that, right? It's about games like Clash of Clans and stuff or Farmville, which kind of have a similar cosmetic aspect to like you're being trained that all the games are basically the same. You're being trained that the amount of actions you actually have are very limited, where it's all like a roll of the dice. And it's very similar in my, well, also with Clash of Clans and stuff, you're constantly putting money in, right, to speed something up. So it's like, I can't help but think that that's training people towards casino games. And
so I personally think that if you want to talk about the, if you want to say, so if somebody wants to say violence in video games trains people to be violent in real life, how could you ignore casino mechanics in video games causing people to waste money gambling in real life?
But there's a difference, Chris.
No, I 100% agree with you because you don't have the same dopamine rush.
Exactly.
Call of Duty killing a bunch of people and winning the game. I mean, you get a dopamine rush from winning, but it doesn't have the same. It doesn't have the same detrimental training of the brain that you want to play these casino games.
The evidence, if we're going to be fair to the evidence, says it will desensitize you to the concept of the violence. It does not increase your willingness to like your does not increase your potential to violence or anything. It just it's not going to push. Yeah, it's not going to push you to commit the violence. It just the military simulation games were to make it where you were more comfortable with like the human silhouette when you were to pull the trigger or whatever.
It hey, doctors not. In the building, guys.
It's the same idea as if you are actually like you go in and dissect bodies every day,
or the shooting range where the targets are silhouettes.
Yeah.
It's no different than that. Same concept, but with this gambling stuff, you're literally gambling. Like there's a very thin veneer between the activities, and you can't say that it's not the same. But just dopamine hits. Fast and loose dopamine hits.
Yeah, I guess there was a Rocket League thing where they had illegal gambling, apparently, and it got banned.
Well, wait, were people gambling on the outcome of it?
No. They had like a weird gambling loot box system.
Oh.
Yes, there was esports betting on Rocket League too. I found that as well.
I'm trying to think of the first game. I
actually don't have an issue. I don't have an issue with people betting on video games so long as it's regulated the same way as sports.
Yeah.
I do think the chances of somebody fixing a game in video games, you know, like somehow winning that way, I think that might be more likely in video games just because there's so many more people that can do it.
But I'm okay with people gambling on the outcome of games. Flat out okay with it. I don't like it when the game... Goodness.
You guys got phones, right?
Yeah, he must have a phone.
I don't like it when they
make
the game mechanic gambling itself.
Chris, now you're just screwing with it.
I was screwing with you that time, yeah. So I have a hard time with this because I think an adult who can make adult decisions should be allowed to play casino games online and games and whatnot. But I honestly think that gambling should automatically be an adults only game personally. Like I don't think it's good for the children, for any brain under the age of 18 to play any game that involves gambling, like actual gambling.
But here's the thing, like the slots of all things, like I can't comprehend the slots. So at least there's scratch off games where like you have the illusion of where you're like pick which ones you're picking out of this list of things. You don't really even have that with the slot machines. It's just random. whatever it is what it is, right? There's no fun to thinking it through, hypothesizing or anything. It's just,
this is still my favorite stupid thing that 2K ever did. They had an actual slot machine in NBA 2K20.
Yeah, they did.
Like, and you didn't think you were going to get called out by the European Union. This is one spot pushing where, this is one spot where I think European Union did a good thing when they banned this. Yeah. Like, no, get this out of this game. Like, this does not belong here. But yeah, I actually think that if you put adults only on all gambling in gaming, you would immediately see developers like, well, we can't sell this to kids anymore, so we can't put it in our games. Like, yeah. I think that would immediately end it. There would be no more of it.
What are your guys' thoughts on games that are constantly pushing speed ups for purchase?
Oh, like the pay to speed. Like, Clash of Clans would do that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
You get the gems, you get to do upgrades.
Because sometimes they take actually well designed games and they ruin it with those mechanics.
Exactly. Right. It's just a money grab on usually small children too. Because
what was Shadow of War's issue?
It's like that. They had an entire, the end game, they could basically pay to finish it and get to the actual end game instead of grinding like hours and hours and hours.
And also, FIFA's pretty much like this too, where you buy packs and it's a gamble on what packs you're going to get. But I mean, it's just like a card. Is it kind of
like Ultimate Team, like Madden Ultimate Team? Same idea?
Same exact thing. Yeah.
See, I think trading cards are fine though, but I hate that they stuck a trading card game in the middle of a $60 sports title.
Yep. Yeah. You already paid for it. Also, they really should just go to a live service model with those games where you pay like maybe $10 for a team.
You and can't then you can purchase other teams. You can't do that because of the current union contract with the Players Association.
Yeah.
They literally cannot do that.
They're getting paid enough.
You'd have to convince the Players Association to change how they do business with the video game industry in order for that to happen. That's literally what's holding back from making Madden a live service game, because they would make less money.
I mean,
at least they think they would.
You would make quite a bit of money through in-game advertisement if you actually really went that route.
Well, here's the problem. Yeah. Madden players are still buying a $60 game that has free-to-play mechanics in it. So if you could convince the Madden fan base to stop buying Madden games that are $60, they would probably change their
Yeah, that'll never happen. I'll take the L on that. That's never going to happen. They love it too much.
See? They got you, because you're going to spend $60 and then people are still going to play that stupid Ultimate Team mode.
Well, Ultimate Team is what everybody plays, and I'm pretty sure that's what.
So you're paying $60 for a game that should be a free-to-play game.
Yeah, a lot of people are doing that. Yeah,
that's stupid. That's dumb. That's called bad consumerism.
The irony really is that Ultimate Team should be separated out from it, because
it's like Warzone. It's just a trading card game, and then you play Madden. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the
right solution is. I used to really like Madden, so it is very sad.
Well, I see the same thing with FIFA, and I like FIFA. So,
all right, I do have another really fun topic for you guys. You're gonna love it, I promise.
Please tell me it's not the Vita.
Jeff Bezos is shutting down the Washington Post's gaming section.
Nice.
And nothing of value was lost. Although I do feel bad for anybody who lost their job. But
I mean, that was probably more value than the rest of the newspapers. So.
They had a gaming section?
Yep. Anything that Jeff Bezos touches is like part of his trying to monopolize all of business. So I'm okay with him shutting things down.
The gaming division there for the newspaper was literally just an advertisement for Amazon Luna. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, here's another cancer of the gaming industry. Reset Era has banned anybody from discussing Hogwarts Legacy on their website.
Why?
Good luck, Reset Era. You just lost like 20,000 people who are going to talk about it, probably. That's a huge, like, imagine. You just said, I'm not going to let all these people that are going to play this live service game have a forum on our website.
That's a stupid
business decision.
Why is this gaming forum doing that? I'm so confused.
I don't know. Can we talk about the controversy or no?
Which controversy?
The reason why
there's a lot of them associated with this game.
No, there is the controversy, Chris. That's why they're
talking about the J.K. Rowling controversy. Yes.
Oh, that's why they're banning it. These people are freaking clowns.
Yep. The reset era has caused limited run games to do stupid things in the past. Reset Era is just a bad website, like personally. Like, I really don't like Reset Era. I will never
use it. I forgot that it existed. I'm not going to lie. I haven't thought about that in like 10 years.
They have a very specific culture to the website. And if you don't fit into that culture, even a little bit, you probably won't have a good time on there. That's what I'm going to say about Reset Era.
All I know is they're a bunch of clowns.
All right, let's read this article. I'm curious. This is one of the biggest online gaming forums. I'm sorry. The biggest online gaming forum is Reddit, because every single forum on Reddit for a specific game is larger than all of Reset Era. Sorry, Reset Era is not big. But one of the biggest online gaming forums is decided they're not going to host any discussion of Hogwarts Legacy in a what I'm going to call virtue signal. And they previously banned new posts about promotion for Hogwarts Legacy, preventing users from starting new discussions.
This
about
is trailers. So dumb. It's just, even if you...
Why do I feel like they're using this to
even get if you disagree with J.K. Rowling, I do not understand how this is associated with that. It just... It blows my mind what people get upset about nowadays.
Dude,
if you don't like the game, don't buy it. Like, that's the end of the game.
For relevancy, you guys. That's it. Look, this is an article about them that would never have been written, and like, Millicent forgot they existed.
I'm about to create a Reset Era account just to go discuss Hogwarts Legacy.
I mean,
I'm not even going to buy Hogwarts Legacy, and I'm ready to go on there and just like piss them off.
Can I just point out something really sad about these people?
Sure. What is it?
Okay. The only book they've ever read.
Is this going to get us banned? Is this going to get us
banned from YouTube? No, I highly doubt so. I mean, it's going to be savage, but I don't think it's going to get us banned. Okay, let's be honest. One of the only books these people have ever read is probably Harry Potter, right?
You're going to say Hogwarts.
Yeah. No, this might be one of the only book series they've ever read. It's the only proof that they're literate. It's probably also as important to their worldview as the Bible, which they haven't read, going back to the literacy thing. And they're so upset because their God figure has an opinion that differs from them, and they don't know how to square it. So instead of reading it, because they can't read her comments and understand them, they just go to, "You are evil, and you know who." So that's the only way we know how to deal with people. You know who. So we will not talk about you at all. You are banned.
Read this disclaimer on the bottom of this. I know this is going to get us in trouble, but read the disclaimer that GamesRadar has here.
Although she is not involved in the development of Hogwarts Legacy, GamesRadar Plus acknowledges the role of J.K. Rowling in the creation of the Wizarding World, as well as her publicly stated
her role.
Harmful views.
She regarding created the universe.
But keep going, sorry.
It says, as a publicly stated harmful views regarding the rights of transgender people. If you'd like to, okay, whatever, Games. I don't really care about this.
It's just
anyways.
The fact that you can donate these organizations over someone's rhetoric.
Hey,
that's where we are in this
world. Hey, can I just say, I have a based opinion here that I want to lay on the table here.
Give it to me.
If you don't like a creator who created a world that you actually do like, mm-hmm. you should be able to disassociate yourself from that creator and still enjoy
their art. I do
it all
the time.
Right.
There are plenty of artists that I disagree with on a morality level that I still enjoy the art of and don't have a problem with that art existing.
And Chris, let's not pretend like these people don't have like a bajillion fan fictions written about specifically Polyjuice potions and what they wish that they were real. So,
I have never thought about that, Andrew.
Why do you think it hurts? Why do you think it hurts them so much that the creator of a story with Polyjuice potions is against their worldview? Because it hurts them to the soul, okay? They just wish that that was real, and then the creator is against them.
Yeah.
Come on.
Moving along, but it is ridiculous, and this game's going to sell really well. I don't understand why people are getting
upset.
It
was number one on Steam like last week, I think. So it's, I'm sorry, you can't cancel a universe that's It'd be like trying to say that Star Wars should be canceled because George Lucas said something. You can't cancel
Harry Potter because it's literally one of the most popular. It probably is the most popular story specifically to millennials.
Yep. Yes. I think Star Wars and no. Lord of the Rings would like to eat your lunch, but that's
specifically to millennials. Millennials.
Yes.
This is literally the millennial story.
All right. Here's what I'm saying. Harry Potter is not an original or even all that good of an idea, but it is very popular.
I'm not saying it is.
He's saying it's the popular. Yeah.
I'm not saying it is. I'm saying it is the book series that came
I consider
out
Harry Potter at the same place in literacy as the Twilight series. Maybe a little better.
It's definitely better than Twilight. It's much better than Twilight. Dude, you've never read Twilight, have you?
No, I got forced into seeing one of the movies and it was god awful.
Trust me, the movies.
If you like Twilight,
the movies are better than the books.
I don't even want to talk about it.
Trust me, if you read it, you would want to cut your eyes
off. Oh, man.
If you like Twilight, I don't even know if I can have a discussion with you about.
I know lots of people who like Twilight. I can still have discussions with them. I just don't understand their book choices.
No, I read Twilight only because someone said I couldn't have an opinion unless I read it. Yeah. So I read it.
Well, that's the issue right there. You can have an opinion about Twilight and never read the books.
Dude, one, you can have an opinion. It just doesn't come with the firsthand knowledge.
Yeah, it's not an informed opinion.
Yeah.
I like the older I get, the less I like Harry Potter. That's where I'm at. Like, I really just don't even care about Harry Potter anymore.
It's the thing is, like, I reread that like 2 years ago now, the whole series. It's poorly written. It's obviously meant for kids, so like I can't hit on it too hard, but the inconsistencies in the lore is so frustrating.
Do you know what the best Harry Potter games ever made were? I'll tell you what the best Harry Potter games ever made were.
Specifically with evidence. I hate Reddit. Trust
me. The only good Harry Potter games I have ever played. I'm gonna put them on the thing right now. Give me one second.
Well,
that one's pretty decent actually, but I don't really like that one very much. It is decently well made though. No, this is it right here. Oops. The two RPGs for Harry Potter on the Game Boy Color were fantastic. It was one of the best designed Game Boy Color games ever made.
I'm just going to say though, like,
look, it's like straight up Final Fantasy mixed with Harry Potter. It was really good.
Yeah, no, as far as concepts go, I don't think Harry Potter is bad. It's obviously not on the level of Lord of the Rings.
It's like, good. Okay, let me just say this. It's good young adult fiction, but I just don't care for it anymore.
Well, I thought she had some really great ideas, but I don't know. She's a billionaire, so like, what the hell?
By the end of the Harry Potter books, what I got out of it was that Harry Potter was an angry, angry teenager.
Did you finish the series, Chris?
Yeah. He was very angry. I mean, the bulk of his mindset was he was angry.
I feel like that's like, yeah, good. You read the second one.
Are you kidding me? I read all of them.
He's not simply an angry teenager.
No, by the last book, Harry, like all
he's
of Harry
angry
Potter's...
in 5 and 6. I don't
That's
think
true.
He's
five
angry
and six,
in
yeah.
seven.
He spent multiple books being angry all the time, and I was
well,
like, "This
that's
is
because
dumb.
Of Sirius Black dying." Let's be honest
yeah.
here.
He's gone
Sirius Black
some
was
shit,
the best.
Man.
Sirius Black was the best character.
Be kind.
Yeah,
well,
what you're talking
I don't know.
About
Snape
is...
was Snape was a good character too, though.
Okay, I think you're completely forgetting book seven.
Imagine being Severus Snape. And getting completely
yeah,
screwed
you're,
by
okay, you're totally
Lily,
forgetting
by Lily
book
Potter.
Seven, Chris. I don't
he
think
he was like that.
As angry in six no. and seven.
If Snape was in like a regular school, I'd be concerned about his behaviors with Lily.
Oh,
he like stalked her. He didn't want James to marry her.
Hey, you know what? He's a potions expert, so at least he never loved potioned her. I just want to point out that. Technically,
he could have polyjuiced into James's body,
but he didn't. Why would you bring it up?
Yeah, I just want to point out that if anyone wanted to break that story into a really dark place, it's very easy, very fast. Like the things that exist in that story.
My favorite awful thing I read on the internet was the fan fiction of the girl going into the Harry Potter school and like essentially romancing some, I don't remember who they were. It might've been Harry Potter, honestly, but it was one of the weirdest things I have ever seen in my life. You know what I'm talking about?
Say it one more time. I was
the Harry Potter fan. Have you guys seen the most famous? No, yeah. All right. I'm
no,
gonna find it.
Man, I don't read fan fiction.
I didn't either. Some YouTuber covered it. I think it was the Internet Historian.
Okay. Okay. When it comes to this, I think Harry Potter is a great story overall for getting kids to read and then giving them a TV show and proving, not TV show, movies series that proves that books can be made into great movies that could make tons of money. At the end of the day, it's not going to be...
okay,
it's
look,
not
look,
going to be
here, here's...
the same level of epic as Lord of the Rings or The Odyssey or anything like that. Uh-oh. You know, it's not going to be a classic.
No.
This is how you know this fanfic was bad. It now of gets the, this video may be inappropriate for some users. On the Internet Historian's channel, it's called My Immortal. If you ever want to read some of the weirdest Harry Potter fanfiction you'll ever find on the internet, look up My Immortal.
I'm never
not recommending you do
impulse,
it.
Chris.
Well, this is how I know about it, is because the Internet Historian essentially narrated the most hilarious thing ever.
Chris.
Voldemort gave me a gun was so unexpected and still totally acceptable in this narration. It killed me. I felt bad for him, even though I'm a sadist, so I stopped.
Yeah.
I'll never recover from Voldemort wasn't there. The fat guy who killed Cedric was.
I don't know who I judge more right now. Who actually, you know, pays attention to Harry Potter fan fiction?
I have no idea.
And this is recent, like a year ago. Guys,
these are no. Forever. This video came out 4 years ago. This is Internet Historian.
Still,
it's 4 years ago.
That was so long ago.
The last book was when we were still in high school.
I want to read some more of these. Ebony strikes me as the type of girl to say I'm bi, but I would never date a girl because that's gross.
Okay, this is almost as bad as the time one of my roommates in college told me that he had to stop talking to a girl because she paid attention to Star Trek fan fiction. So.
Draco, a posh boy elitist in the novels, being depicted as a My Chemical Romance loving goth is hilarious.
You should bring up the Harry Potter Puppet Pals.
What? How do you know about this?
How would I not know about this, Chris? It's
what
internet,
is that,
man?
Yeah, no, this fanfic was like many, many pages on either Tumblr or Reddit. I don't remember which. What in the F is this?
No, scroll down. There's one in particular. Maybe like song. Do song.
Papel song?
Also, have you guys not seen this before?
I've never heard of this.
Yeah, here you go. This is it with lyrics.
Okay, you know what thing that I think you brought this up one other time, Will. You know what the most messed up thing in the Harry Potter series is?
What?
Is Ron's brothers had that map, that mischief map, years.
They can see him on
so
the map.
So they knew that
like,
rat was not a freaking rat, and they let Ron live with it for years.
Who cares? Well, okay.
Right, George, man.
I think
a bunch of trolls.
I think you overestimate how much they gave a crap about Ron.
I think you overestimate how much forethought J.K. Rowling had building her world.
Yeah. How were they supposed to know that Peter wasn't real? Come on.
Okay, I see there's a rabbit hole I might have to dive down later with
all these. Never met pals. Peter, okay? He's the random whatever year that they were, you know, just third years at the time. He's a random third year. They don't know who he is, but he's always there with Ron.
I can't believe you haven't heard this before. This was at one time really freaking popular on YouTube.
Well, yeah, there's 43 million views 15 years ago. Dude, I wasn't even... Well, I guess I was on YouTube 15 years ago.
Hey, Will, remember how he was just crapping on Harry Potter 2 seconds ago, and now he's like, I have a new rabbit hole of Harry Potter type stuff to watch.
I will watch just garbage internet stuff because
this
is garbage.
The thing is, this stupid song gets stuck in your head and it's still stuck in my head to this
then
day,
I'm not gonna watch it. I ain't watching that. Never mind. There was one other thing I was there is an abomination I just saw the other day that you guys I'm gonna make you guys see it.
Oh, it's a mirror, isn't it?
No. Yeah, there it is. This is the biggest abomination I've seen in a while. Let's see if this is the right one. No, this is not. This is not it. Hold on. Give me a second. No, that's not the right one. This is not what I saw earlier.
But it? Honestly, you have to be grateful for Harry Potter for one purpose, and that is that movies for books became way more popular as a concept.
It's true.
Even TV series now too. I don't think it would happen the same way. When did Harry Potter versus... One second, I have a corgi to go kill.
I found it was a fun distraction. It's not my top, 100 books of all time. But it was good at the time. As a kid, it's a fun book to read through.
This is Family Guy reimagined by an AI as IRL.
Yeah, I already hate it.
Sitcom. Look at this. I had to watch this earlier.
Why is this hateable? Why is this an abomination?
Look at these weird... Look at this stuff. Like, how can AI do this? Looks like
a normal person.
Look at Chris Griffin.
That looks like an actor. I don't know who, but it looked
like... This is AI. This is AI.
I know, but it looks like an actual actor.
Yeah. Well, I feel like this is a deep fake or whatever.
That some of these people look like they're real people, like certain real people. Old Yeller? They brought Old Yeller.
This is Family. Look, that actually looks like an Olsen twin made into a boy.
It does. I mean,
like, this is definitely what an 80s sitcom would have looked like. That's for sure.
Ron Burgundy?
That looks fake.
That one is fake. 100%.
Look at his fingers. Look at his fingers. Go back.
Just kidding.
No, go back to his hand. Look at his hand.
Oh my gosh, how many fingers does he have? He's got six fingers, seven fingers. What the heck's going on with his thumb? What the heck?
That's terrifying.
That's how you know it's AI. That's how you know it's AI. AI still can't figure this out. There's Joe.
Oh man. Great. Oh wow. Oh man, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
It's a different dog.
Yeah. It's a different dog. No, what they did was is they sent an AI, the Mid Journey or whatever, the theme song, and they just redid it with like an AI.
Different people too.
But each scene because they look a little different. The AI doesn't realize it's all the same person.
Okay.
Okay.
Wait, there was a... It is different people altogether.
He's way fatter in that one.
Very flattering.
Oh my gosh. That is amazing. Yeah, this was... I can't believe this like showed up in my Instagram feed the other day. Just like all this weird stuff.
I just want to
like,
point out...
Meg is like three different people.
I just want to point out that it
works. Chris Griffin's like Chris Farley, except like a redneck Chris Farley.
Oh, that's right. That's who he looks like. I was trying to... Tommy Boy over here.
There's Stewie Griffin over here.
Olsen twin number three.
Except his nose is too small. It doesn't look like it's even possible to be a real person.
I don't know, actually. That's not that small.
No.
I will say, do you know what the funniest thing that's ever happened to me, and it's Harry Potter related in a movie theater?
Oh man, go on.
At the end of the Goblet of Fire when Voldemort comes back, right? So at the end of that movie, I was sitting in the theater, and when they dumped that lifeless corpse into the pot to bring it back to life, this kid goes, "Mom, it's Yoda." Like, what?
No, what? Do you know what the most screwed up thing in the movie theater was?
What, you hid in the popcorn bowl on a date?
No. Oh my god. That's a terrible joke. All right. No, when the Joker came out.
Yeah.
And when people laughed in that movie at like a moment that you shouldn't laugh.
Were they just uncomfortable?
No, legit laughter. Like they were buying into the whole Joker shit. Oh. And it's just very like, frick.
They missed the point of that movie.
Yeah, like they were on par with the insane people, and it's just like, damn, that was creepy. Because
you know when I watched The Joker was on a plane to Jamaica because it was one of the in-flight movies, and that's the only time I've ever watched it. And man, that put me in the wrong mood for Jamaica.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's really sad.
Yeah.
You see him spiral out of control, and it's just so sad.
It's a really well done movie though.
Yeah.
It was good. Like as far as like well artistically made movies, that was a good one. The last thing I wanted to bring up, what's a popular like comedy or something that you just like, you watch, like something that was been hyped up to you for years, you finally went and watched it and you're like, this is trash.
Big Bang Theory. It's absolute really? Shit. I hate it. If you take away the laugh track, there's not a single joke in that damn show.
I liked like one season of that and it's just, I couldn't stand the characters.
I liked it better before they had all the girlfriends.
I didn't even get that far.
Well, my parents had it on like yeah. every day, so when I was growing up.
That show just really gets me. I know a lot of people really love The Office more than I do. I can find it funny. It's just not my go-to to watch.
Yeah. I don't know why, that is my go-to.
There was a thing that keeps getting recommended to me on Netflix like forever now. It's called like Now You Can Leave or something like that, or you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. There's a really funny clip on Instagram that keeps showing up in my feed. It's like this guy is like describing, has this ever happened to you? And it's like you move into a new house. There's a termite infestation and these two and you bring in two people to exterminate the things and they start playing with your toilet and they start jumping up around on the couch. And then you want to jump with them, but they tell you you're not part of the turbo team. So you can't be in this. It's like this really long like thing. And I thought it was funny. So I went to go watch the show that it's from and the show that it's from was absolute garbage. Not a single bit was funny. It was like, imagine watching a train wreck, but it's not funny. And it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And I'm just like, I can't watch this anymore.
So this is one that I think gets forgotten about, but I actually like it, Frasier.
I haven't watched it in a really long time.
I like Frasier more than Seinfeld.
I don't have an opinion on that because I have not watched enough Frasier to give you an opinion.
That's fair.
It's called I Think You Should Leave by and Tim Robinson's the comedian. This is I recognize the guy. This show is absolute trash. It's just garbage. Don't watch
I think
it.
Everybody Hates Chris was overrated.
Are you saying Everybody Hates Me?
I
guess I've only seen a few episodes.
No, but it's not as good as like The Nanny or Malcolm in the Middle.
No.
Right?
This is flat out the worst comedy show I've ever watched in my life.
On Netflix, one that's really funny is Lovesick. That one's hilarious.
I'm going to leave this up here because I want people to realize the worst comedy show.
No, you need to put Lovesick ever up. People need to watch is Lovesick. If you like British humor, it is fantastic.
Or the original Office, which is actually pretty funny.
Or yeah, maybe. Mm. Cuckoo's funny too. I don't know. I think that's because I just prefer
British humor. I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah, it's not that.
Or after me, Lucky Charms. All right. Anything else you guys want to say? Oh, I did pick up Fire Emblem Engage. That's actually really good. But I'll tell you my main criticism. The art style is all over the place.
No, it's not. Good. Well, now it is because I said something. You would not have said that. He had the
No.
Totally fine.
I had Fire Emblem Three Houses had a much better art style than Fire Emblem Engage does because it was like, I don't even know how you, there's disarray. So like, some of the characters have like normal sized eyes and they fit in with their art style very well. And then randomly there's like some of the girls in the game have like these giant like Japanese anime eyes. And I'm like, this art style is all over the place and it makes no sense. Like there's nothing the style. There's no style. It's just all over the place with just various anime styles of art and not all of it mixes well. It was very jarring for me. I'm glad that the character with the giant anime eyes died despite it being the mom of the character I'm playing as. Because now I don't have to see her anymore. It was just so jarring. Every time she came on the screen, she got these giant eyes and everybody else has like normal sized eyes. I'm like, this makes no sense. Why would you do an art style and not stick to one specific? Like, I can handle it if everybody has the same art style.
Right.
But when you have two or three different ones in the same game, I'm like, WTF is going on here? It makes sense.
Imagination, Chris. Imagination.
I'm totally okay with like the giant anime eyes, But can we have all the characters have the same
and them giant style? Anime titties?
That's not it. Oh my god! All right. With that being said, I'm done here. You guys are done. See you later. No. Watch Trailer Park Boys. You won't be disappointed. All right. As always, I'm Chris.
And I'm Will.
And I'm Andrew.
Nobody's gonna touch that one, huh?
Nope.
No.
We will see you
on the next GoCast.
Bye, guys.